book of John.
You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Sounds. We are elated that you have chosen this broadcast on this evening, and we look forward to God blessing you. Stay tuned.
Ready to go. All right. Praise the Lord, men and women of God. Welcome to Kingdom Sounds. Praise God. We thank God for Pastor Paul, WMIE, WJFP, WWBC, WMIE, all of those WWs. We thank God for you listening in today. I believe we're going to have an awesome time. Have a wonderful man of God, a wonderful friend of mine from Orlando, powerful man of God. We've had him on occasions to come and preach for us at our church. By the way, we're located at 250 North Babcock in the wonderful city of Orlando, Florida. We are Victory International Praise. We use VIP for short. It's a place where everybody, when you come, you are a VIP, very special person. Praise the Lord. And so we thank God for you. Thank God for you listening in. Thank God for our social media people listening in. I already see that we have, hey, how you doing, Alfred? Praise God. I already see that we have people already starting to tune in. Well, I tell you what, text somebody, call somebody, praise the Lord, and tell them that we have Evangelist Thomas all the way from Orlando in the house, and he's going to bless us with a word today. Let me let him introduce himself and tell us a little bit about himself and his wonderful family. Has a beautiful wife and wonderful kids. So how you doing, man of God?
Yes, doing well. I'm just thankful that I have this opportunity. And Apostle, I'm just so thankful and grateful that you have given me the ability to be on the radio today. And I also want to mention your wife, you know. Pastor Teresa is a wonderful lady, and yes, we've been to your church a couple times, and it's been great. You know, I feel like we have been friends forever. You know, we just met just a couple years ago, and I've been to your church a couple times, but...
No, three times. At least three.
Yeah.
Every time you came. You didn't preach every time you came. You're probably just thinking about the preaching.
Yes.
Yes, you've been...
But I just felt like, you know, Lisa and I have connected with you and your church, and... We just love your church. It's wonderful. And I'm just grateful for our friendship. My wife, we've been married for this November 7th will be 29 years. And so that's been a great, you know, time that we've had together. Have two awesome kids. We love our kids. Stanton, he's 25, mm-hmm. and he's just full of life. You know, he's got a job and he has a mindset for ministry and is actually, he was telling me the other day that he's going to enroll in Liberty University. In fact, wow. my daughter, Savannah, which is 20, this is her second year of Liberty University.
Okay.
And so he's going to take online classes. He's not going to allow his sister to outdo him, you know.
I heard that.
But they're both... beautiful kids, and I just love them.
Amen.
Love the family.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And yeah. So. Now, I tell you what, I thank God for the fellowship. Praise the Lord. You know, even when, as I was thinking, I said, you know, it's been, I guess I was thinking because about four times you've come down and we fellowship together as far as eating,
yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. So I was thinking, you know, I guess I was just thinking about all the times you've come down. So, but yeah, we've been knowing each other for about 2 years. a powerful man of God. Love the words, love the word of God that flows up out of your belly. I can't wait to hear what the Lord has to say to you today. And so without any further delay, praise God, I'm about to turn Evangelist Thomas loose. Evangelist Thomas all the way from Orlando. All right, praise the Lord. Let's hear what the Lord has to say,
Amen.
Man of God.
So, Apostle, I really believe that God has given me a message. It's a mandate from Him, and I believe that I need to carry this.
My God.
You know, as far as I can.
Amen. Amen.
And so I have studied. I've got a lot of scriptures. In fact, today you're going to hear a lot of scriptures.
Amen.
You know, this is not something that I've dreamt up overnight, but this is a plan that He kind of walked me through, kind of wrote it down, and this is what I've been preaching.
Praise
you know,
the Lord.
From Florida to California.
Praise God.
And so I believe that there are a lot of wounded, hurt people.
My God.
In our churches,
My
and
God.
I want to see them set free.
My God.
God can set them free.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I want to speak to the listeners today. Listen, I've lived through wounds and hurts, been in ministry for 29 years. My wife and I, we have pastored several churches, and but God, you know, He's given me the story. Basically, I wrote my story out, really, and I'm preaching, what I've lived.
My God.
You know, there is no bandage to stop the tears. There are no methods to sterilize the psychic wound.
My God.
And no plaster cast for the heartbreak. But what we do have, Apostle, is God's presence, His power, and the transformation that comes by praying concerning our pains, our hurts, and our wounds.
My God.
And the Bible says this clearly, and I had to learn this in Psalms in chapter 147 and verse 3. And if you're listening to this, I want you to write this scripture down. I want you to underline this in your Bible because I believe it speaks life and truth. And it says, Psalms 147 verse 3, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds.
My God.
And God can do this.
My God.
God can do this. I want to give
you
another portion of scripture.
Now, I just want to say that my God, see, man, Saturday we were in that vein because God had me to pray for the men. We had our men's meeting, and God sent men from, all over the place. And I tell you what, He had me to pray for their hearts. In other words, not their hearts that pump blood, but pray for their minds. And you're sitting here and you're talking about this, and this is so wonderful. Go ahead. I just want to throw that in there because it's wonderful when you say, man, I was in the right vein. You know, God wants His people healed. Men,
absolutely.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And another scripture, it says in Psalms 34 and verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and His ears are opened.
My God.
To their cry.
My God.
So I believe that God has given ministry to us. This ministry God has called us to is the ministry of healing, restoration, and forgiveness. And I believe that God has given me a message to the church that deals with wounds, past hurts, traumas, and abuse, and unforgiveness. And I believe, Apostle, that our churches are filled with beautiful people carrying old wounds.
My God.
Past hurts.
My God.
And unforgiveness.
My God.
And God can heal them.
My God.
And deliver them and set them free.
My God.
If we take the word of the Lord and we read scriptures and we memorize them and they become a part of our DNA, we can overcome these things.
My God.
I'm not in front of this microphone today telling you that I have achieved all these things in my life. It's a process. I'm not here to wave a wand and say, bam, it's done. It's a process. But if you start the process, you will get through it, and God will heal and deliver you and set you free.
Yes.
Because the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, I love the scripture.
Yes.
And I believe that we quoted a lot, and it's kind of glazed over. Okay, we hear that scripture again. But it's so true. You know, the word says, I know the plans that I have for you, declare the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you a hope and to give you a future. And that's what God wants to do.
God.
You know, I like what David said the best.
My God.
In Psalms 119 and verse 50, this is what he said, Apostle. He says, this is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me in my affliction.
My God.
This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me.
My God.
And if we take the living word of God, it will revive us.
My God.
And bring us to a position in
my
life
God.
That says, I can't till I can. We can cross the threshold,
yes.
Apostle,
yes.
That we can be
yes.
overcomers, not in that through ourselves,
yes.
but through the power and the
my.
Anointing of Almighty God.
My
we can
God.
Do these things.
My God.
If God be for us, then
who can be against us? You know, this is a blessing because, you know, one day I went out to lunch, man of God, at Cracker Barrel, and there was a lady there who was the hostess, and she knew I was in the ministry, and she's like, you know, I got this Bible that I want to give you, and stuff like this, and so anyways, I remember one day her bringing a Bible for me, but one day I began to talk with her, and she was saying her sister was coming to visit her. And I said, oh, I said, how long has it been since you saw your sister? And she said, like 30-something years. And
wow.
All of a sudden, her continent changed. In other words, she said that, you know, she used some type of word. She said she was angry with her sister because her sister
boy.
Had told her parents on her about something. And so this caused a separation between her and her sister. And I watched her go from this seemingly wonderful delight Christian handing me a Bible to somebody who was offended, hurt, holding a grudge. Praise God, it's in the body of Christ.
Yes,
you're saying it. It's in the body, and it has to be talked about. It has to be ministered on, because she would begin to talk angrily, and even though her sister was coming to visit her, I realized that she was still mad at her sister. And I said, well, how many years ago did this happen? And she was like, this happened, you know, such and such amount of years ago. And I'm like, you know, I'm confronted her. You still mad about this, you know? And so go ahead.
See, that's what happens.
Yeah.
The enemy.
Yeah.
He just conjures all this stuff in your mind, and it seems like you can't get over it.
My God.
Let me go on in Scripture, Jeremiah 31 and verse 25. If you notice, I'm using a lot of scriptures because
I
believe
your Bible, because I left my Bible in
it,
the car.
It's the word that will set you free. And in Jeremiah 31 and 25, you know, God spoke to Jeremiah concerning the future prosperity of Judah. And this is what he says: I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint.
My God.
So as God told the people of the past, God is still refreshing and satisfying his people today. And I believe that God has revealed to me, Apostle, for years that the enemy has been stealing, lying, and cheating, and thwarting God's initial plans for the human race. And so there are so many people sitting in our churches today that are saved, but they're wounded.
My God.
Jesus loves them.
My God.
Jesus loves us, and he wants us to be free. You see, the people are around us who have these wounds and hurts, you see, the wounds of their past have yet to be confronted.
My God.
And so many are living in a false reality. And so, beloved, when we fail to face our pain.
Say that again.
Yes.
Many are what?
Many fail to realize their pain, and they tend to band-aid and cover what needs to be exposed and healed, and they just leave it there.
You said
a false reality. Yeah, so you said
a false reality. And could you can you open that up a little bit more?
I'll say it again. See, wounds of the past have yet to be confronted.
My God.
And so many are living in a false reality.
My God. My
you know,
God.
That everything's all right, but it's really not. You
and
know,
they're confessing that everything's all right.
Exactly.
When it's really not.
You know, they tend to band-aid and cover what needs to be exposed and healed. You see, there are some keys, I believe, that God has given us.
Okay.
Refusing to recognize the damage in our lives will enslave us to the pain of our past. And so many are living in the dream world of freedom, when in reality they are enslaved to the memory of their past wounds and their pain.
My God, my God! You know, it just hit me. It's you know, because the Bible talks about the spirit of heaviness. And sometimes we wonder why, you know, people are walking around and you know, the enemy is heavily upon them, you know, and they don't, you know, realize that, you know, they're depressed, they're oppressed. And a lot of this has to deal with, you know, carrying stuff. But go ahead. I just wanted to, this is good. This
Absolutely, absolutely, Pastor. And I believe that this word needs to be shared, you know.
Yes, it does.
But the willingness to recognize our wounds, I believe, Apostle, will accelerate the healing process in our lives.
My God.
God wants us to be healed and delivered, but it takes you to confront these issues to move on. And if you accelerate in this, God, he does the healing. Yes. We just got to have the active spirit to say, God, here I am.
Yes.
Take this from me.
My God.
And when we do that, God heals us. You see, God's desire is for you and for I to be made whole. So we need to ask the Holy Spirit to give us the courage to face whatever has wounded us so that we can enter into our next season of life.
Now, you're saying something.
Next season of life. Be completely healed from your past. See, the devil should have not messed with you because your mess will become your message.
Ooh.
And I really believe that the enemy, he wants to keep you from that. You see, perhaps
that future
that
God has for you. I was sitting here thinking, man of God, about Joseph. Joseph named his first son, Manasseh, and he named his second son Ephraim. Manasseh means forgetting, because sometimes before we can, because Ephraim means fruitful. And sometimes before we can go on and be fruitful, we got to forget some stuff and let some stuff go. I just want to throw that in.
So true. Pastors, I love your apostles. I love your comments, man. It's just so, you're so natural. And I just love to
Jesus.
I love to be with you, man. You're great influence and a great man of God. But you see, we have to hold on to these truths. You and I, ministers of the gospel, we have to share it. We have to teach it. We have to disciple it and guide those who have become saved. Because if those who have become saved don't change their mindset, they will continue the way that it has always been.
And poison the next generation.
And poison the next generation. You see, they will try to live their saved life the same way that they've lived their wounded life, using the same flawed mindsets, the same reasoning, the same attitudes, the same temperaments. But there are wounded, hurting, insecure people who cannot understand why they just can't break free from their problems. And the answer is this.
God.
They fail to realize that they have yet to face and destroy their wounded perception.
Good. Oh, that's good.
So true.
That's good.
You know, perception of what has messed them up and what keeps tripping them up. And I like what John chapter 10, verse 10 says. And I believe that you have quoted it from your tabernacle many times. I love this. The enemy comes to kill,
steal, and destroy.
But God has come to give us life, and that more abundantly. Perhaps you have been angry. You've had an angry, abusive father or an abusive mother. Perhaps you're a victim of some kind of offense. Maybe someone you've trusted has betrayed you. Whatever and whoever has caused you pain, you are not the blame. Not then and not now. Maybe you're stuck in the prison of your mind, surrounded by the walls of painful memories. But again, the scriptures say in Psalms 55 and verse 22, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He, being God, will never let the righteous fall. And I believe that's a nugget of truth that you and I we can glean from. You see,
Can I throw this in there, man of God? I was just telling the church yesterday, I say to be a good Christian, you got to be a professional caster.
Yes.
You got to be a professional caster, good at casting and do a lot of casting all your cares on the Lord. And I also told him, I says, to be a good Christian, you got to be a professional tattletale. You got to be willing to tell on yourself. You know, some of the best men and women of God in the Bible were people that were tattletales. They knew how to tell on themselves. David would tell on himself. You know, I just wanted to throw that in.
That's so true. You see, Apostle, here's the thing. Yeah, you are either going to live the rest of your life in the prison of your pain or in the palace of your freedom. You're either going to live in the prison of your pain or in the palace of your freedom.
Wow.
You know, the Bible says, he that the Son sets free is free indeed. And so, beloved, we only are the ones that can choose. We are the only ones that can choose for ourselves. No one else.
My God.
You can live in the pain. The
prison of your pain.
The prison of your pain, or the freedom. Wow. In the palace of your freedom.
Ooh,
you know, and I choose to believe that that God has set me free from this.
That's good.
God has delivered me. And I was reading a story once, and I wanted to bring this into the message because I believe it's so true, not liking people to animals. But there's a story I read. It says animals that have been in captivity for years are said to remain in their cages after they are given a chance to escape. The pitiful animals just sit there. They're free, but still caged to a memory. You see, caged animals cannot comprehend that the doors which held them captive for so long have been opened, so they just stay in prison behind open doors.
My God. Yes.
And I was thinking about that. Could that be the enemy in our lives?
My God. Now, you're saying
kept
something.
Us.
Oh, you're saying something, because, you know, on yesterday, man of God, I told the people about a vision that I had where I came before this, in a vision, I came before this great big, like, glass crystal city. And I remember, you know, saying, I'm here to break your people out of prison. And a voice came from over the wall and said, I'm going to help you to break my people out of prison. People are in prison. Man of God, we got about 4 minutes left. I want you to, your final statements, I want you to lead people through the sinner's prayer, or a prayer of deliverance, however the Lord does it. Go ahead. I'm going to turn you loose for these last 4 minutes, and I want people to stay tuned, because we're going to be back tomorrow with this same topic. We want our social media folks to remain listening. We'll be going into part two. Go ahead.
And so, Father, today we come in agreement with those who are listening on air. And Lord, we just pray that your supernatural power would supersede the natural in our ability. Lord, it's by your strength that we can do all things that give us the strength. And I just pray, God, that the power of God would just help and release what the enemy has tried to hold us back, to keep us from fulfilling what you want us to fulfill, God. We realize today that the enemy has come to kill and steal and destroy everything that you have put inside of us. But today, God, we are going to stand up. We're going to draw a line into the sand and say, Satan, it's enough. Today is a new day, a beginning, and I'm going to be set free by the power and the anointing of Almighty God.
Not
because I've said it, but because of your word that declares it over our lives.
My God.
And God, we come to you today, and we just believe that there are many that the chains that held them for many, many years, God, Lord, I just pray that the chains would fall off.
In the name of Jesus.
And they would be broken and be restored today, because all things work together for all those who love you.
Yes.
And I believe those who are hearing us on this broadcast today, you are no respecters of person. You love us all the same. There's no one greater in the kingdom of God. We're all on the same playing field, and you love us all the same. And so I release the power and the anointing
My
and the
God.
Authority to
My
break
God.
The back of Satan's attack.
In the
name Jesus'
name
we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Man of God, Evangelist Thomas, give us some information, your website, your email, your telephone number. There may be someone listening that would like to open a door for you, even to come in and to minister at their church. And so we just want to, you know, make your information available before we move on.
Well, Pastor, I'd love to come to any church that the pastor would have me, to love you and to love your people and to cross people over the threshold that says, yeah, I can't, I can. So if you if you want to get a hold of me, the easiest way to do that is that you can email me at Thomas, Thomas, as in Paul, Cook, COOK, 007, like James Bond, at yahoo.com. And so you can email me at that address if you'd love me to come speak, to do a workshop, or to come preach and fill your pulpit and to pray for your people. I would love to do that, you know. And also, if you would like to sow into our ministry to get us to that place, if that would be all right to mention. Many people have asked, you know, how can they support our ministry? And you can actually become a partner.
Amen.
We have partnership dinners that we gather in our home every 3 months with our partners. And we got quite a few partners who have partnered with us. And they actually, they support us financially. That's why I can do this full time.
Praise God.
Because God's given us ability.
Praise
so
God.
My Cash App, if you don't mind me giving this over the air, is the $ TC Ministries, that's MINISTRIES 19, TC Ministries, the $ TC Ministries 19, or Venmo, I picked this up at Thomas, Thomas, dash Cook, dash 302.
Okay.
So if you want to get a hold of me by email, that's my email. If you want to Cash App me or support this ministry, you do what God has called you to do. And I think that we will be a blessing. And also, we do have a Facebook page, TC Ministries. You can go to that page. You can look at the sermons. You can see the churches that I've been to, this great apostles' church that I've been to. You can see me getting excited in his church. It's just been a wonderful time. So you can get to know me through that and my wife and kids.
Amen. Amen. Well, this is Pastor Thomas Robinson, and you've been listening to Kingdom Sounds, and we thank God for you listening in this Monday, and we're going to have Evangelist Thomas back Tuesday, amen, for our Tuesday broadcast also. So we want you to tune in. That's 99.9, 100.7, and 94.7. Praise God, at 6 p.m. to 6:30. All right, I'm Thomas Robinson, and we thank God for you, and we'll see you tomorrow. God bless.
You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS Rockledge, Melbourne, Pompeii, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
Deconstruction is a helpful word for what it's worth. It's not a helpful word for what it's not worth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Among the current prominent buzzwords in Christian social media are variations of the word deconstruction. The word's been used to describe the deconversions of Kevin Max from DC Talk and Joshua Harris of I Kiss Dating Goodbye, as well as the soul-searching of Derek Webb and the theological revisioning of folks like Jen Hatmaker and Rob Bell. Now, when used descriptively, the word can helpfully describe something that's become a common feature of evangelical celebrityism. Increasingly, however, I am seeing that the word deconstruction is being used prescriptively, almost recommended to believers, especially the young doubting ones, as a courageous thing to do. This is somewhere between unhelpful and dangerous.